We're going to be looking today at Psalm 91. I invite you to turn to that as I say a few words about it. Our theme, our umbrella for the day is, how safe am I? And the 91st Psalm, like so many others, is really what I call soul talk. It's the psalmist talking from his soul and to his soul, but also to God so that God can minister to his soul. It's an exciting psalm with much to offer, and so let's, with anticipation, turn to it now and read it together. Psalm 91. Hear the word of the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God lives forever. So may it live in our hearts and in our lives. Let's pray. Lord God, may your word penetrate our very souls. Speak to us what each of us needs to hear. And transform and strengthen our lives, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How safe am I? We have a security system in our house, and we know it works because on occasion we have opened one of the doors and forgotten to undo the alarm, and the alarm goes off, sure enough. We've also been told that there's a certain code we can punch into the keypad that goes directly and silently to the police department so they can come in an emergency. Now, fortunately, we've never had to use that, but there have been times when I thought to myself, I wonder if that really works. And I thought about punching in the code to see. But I know the police department would not be very happy with me. And so if I want to avoid deep trouble, I simply need to trust and believe. I think that's sort of the flavor of this 91st Psalm. The psalmist is so picturesque and beautiful in his language and his imagery as he talks about the provisions of security. Now we're going to say verses 1 and 2. We'll come back to them shortly. But we want to begin verse 3, where we begin to find about those provisions. And we see, first of all, that God gives the provision of safety. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now, the fowler's snare is a trap set to catch the enemy. And so the symbolism here is God makes sure that the enemy doesn't get to us. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, for example, with confidence, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's something that He has promised us He will do. God provides not only safety, but shelter. Verse 4, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. Now, bird experts say that spreading wings is a natural thing for mother birds and father birds. When danger comes, they spread their wings, and the little birds immediately get under there for safety, for security, for shelter. It's a beautiful imagery, is it not? That's why it's frequent in Scripture. For example, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, he was like an eagle hovering over its nest, overshadowing its young, then spreading its wings, lifting them into the air, teaching them to fly. Or Psalm 36, 7, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God! People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalm 57, 1, have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Even Jesus used the image. Think of Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. When the storms of life are whipping and whirling around us, God shelters us. The psalmist continues, he is our shield, verse 4b. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. The psalmist knew that God is faithful to all of his creation. Psalm 36:5, he wrote, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. He knew that God's faithfulness would pass through generations. Psalm 119, verse 89. Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans. In fact, there are times when all we have to rely on is God's faithfulness. I think of the prophet when he wrote the book of Lamentations. The first 2.5 chapters are nothing but lamenting what's happening in the world, how it's almost to the point of him losing his faith. But then he comes, and we read this beginning in the 3rd chapter of Lamentations, verse 20. He comes to the point of expressing his faith. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Other translations say his mercies are new every morning. We sang that earlier. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God provides safety, shelter, a shield, and sacred guardians. Look at verses 11 and 12. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Hebrews 1:14 teaches us that God sends his angels for the sake of his people to ministering spirits to save us and to help us. God sends his angels to keep us on track, to keep us safe. It's like God has given us designated drivers to get us safely home. He sends us, indeed, sacred guardians. So God gives us provisions. But what does that produce in our lives? What does that do for us? The psalmist continues. He says we gain freedom from our fear, verse 5 and 6. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Since God provides security, why worry? What is there to worry about? Certainly freedom from fear, but then there's also freedom from evil. Verses 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Evil will not take over our lives. I like how the Living Bible translates these verses. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 are dying around me. How appropriate is that perhaps for this day? Though 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share it. Freedom from fear, from evil, and thirdly, freedom from harm and disaster. Verse 10, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. So let's summarize that for a moment. God gives safety, shelter, a shield, and sacred guardians, so we're free from fear, evil, harm, and disaster. The psalmist wants to be sure that we get the message, and so he quotes God's restating his covenant in verses 14 to 16. God says, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now notice those promises. Go back into the verse. God will rescue us, protect us, answer our prayers, be with us, deliver us, honor us, satisfy us with long life, and show us salvation. Man, that's wonderful. Go ahead and say amen. Nobody else will hear you and think you're crazy. In fact, say it a little louder so I can hear you. Amen. Amen. I know some of you said it. Some of you are wishing you had. You can still say it. But now let me ask you something. Do you really believe it? Deep down in your heart, deep in your soul, do you really believe it? Or are there still times you worry and you wonder? What about Christians or others who die at a young age? What about children who are abused or who are born in not perfect condition? What about innocent victims? What about people who are killed by drunk drivers? What about people who are abused by people they should be able to love and respect? What about marriages that break apart? What about people who have cancer and can't seem to beat it? How can we say we believe the psalmist in the light of these realities? The key lies, I think, in what the psalmist says about the place of security. Now back to verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Notice, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The place of security means to dwell in the shelter. And the verb to dwell means not just something temporary, but it's permanent. It's to be there, to reside there, to stay there, to keep place there. Someone put it this way, the shadow of God is not the occasional resort, but the constant abiding place of the saint. We ought never to be out of the shadow of God. It is to dwellers, not to visitors, that the Lord promises his protection. The reality is that far too many people run to the shelter when there's trouble, and then when they think it's safe, they leave the shelter and go back out on their own again. That's not what the psalmist talks about. He talks about going to the shelter and remaining there. As Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 55, verses 2 and 3, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. Dwelling in the shelter is what produces the blessing. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Now that imagery of the shadow of the Almighty, comes from the mercy seat in the tabernacle, in the temple. And over the mercy seat there were two angels, and their wings touched each other. And underneath that was the presence and the glory of God, where the blood was sprinkled. So this imagery, we now know, means more than just the picture of a bird with wings and the cherubim. It means we are under the protection of God, for He is the one who has sprinkled His blood for our sakes. Our dwelling is to be in Jesus. In fact, Jesus describes His disciples as those who abide in Him by eating His flesh and drinking His blood. That's in John 6:56. John 8:31, they also dwell in His word, and they dwell in Him as branches dwell in and are attached to a vine. That's in John 15. So our rest comes from being in, resting in Jesus, building a relationship with him. I think these verses tie together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. A place of security comes from the shelter, and it comes also, says the psalmist, from loving God. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Now the word love in Hebrew comes from the word for cleaving. It's like putting a saddle on a horse. To make it secure, there's a clinching which takes place. Then the saddle is secure. So what the Hebrew word is telling us is that's what we need to do to God. That's what we need to do to Jesus. We need to wrap ourselves around him. We need to clinch and cinch ourselves around him. How do we do that? Not just by saying, Lord, here I am, but by obeying his commands. John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. How do we clinch it? How do we cinch it? Very simply, by trusting God. Trust is the key to the entire psalm. Trust is the key to our relationship with God. The psalmist is not saying that trusting God is an insurance policy against nothing ever happening in our life that's bad. Not at all. But why then does the psalmist say we can experience these blessings? Because he knows and understands what it means to trust. Verses 1 and 2 again. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. To trust in God is to put all your weight on him. Have you ever participated in or seen what at least they used to call the fall trust exercise? It's where you stand up and behind you is somebody you trust. And they ask you just to fall backwards. Often you'll be on a stage and they'll be down on the main floor and they'll say, just go ahead and lean backwards and fall. I will catch you. And if you trust, you'll do that. And if they're trustworthy, they'll catch you. I've been on both ends of that. And believe me, no matter who's behind me, no matter how much I trust them, there is that moment when I'm falling backwards that there's a sense of, is it going to happen? Will it work well? Is trust worth it? The psalmist is saying, put your full weight on. Trust God. He's there to catch us and to embrace us. A few years ago, a couple of our young grandchildren up at Cranhill Ranch climbed the rock wall. And when they first got in the harness and started up the wall, they were tentative. It was a little scary. I understand why. I didn't even do it. They did. But once they learned to simply relax and to allow the man, the woman who controlled the ropes beneath, to sort of sit in the saddle, if you will, and sit back and let them help, they were free and they could climb. It was putting their full weight and trusting. And so by trusting, the psalmist is inviting us not to worry. Not to worry. There are dark sides to life, but we can trust. Dr. Cornelius Plantinga puts it eloquently. No final evil can get to us because those wings have never folded. They are spread out to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised by our iniquities. And when the feathers quit flying, we peep out and discover that we have been in the only place that was not leveled. Yes, we have been bumped and bruised and hurt, sometimes badly hurt. But the other choice was to be dead. I mean that the other choice was to break out of the embrace of God. And the truth is that if we had not stayed under those wings, we could never have felt the body shudders or heard the groans of the one who loved us so much, that those wings stayed out there no matter what came whistling in. This is the one who protects us from final evil, now and in the life to come, the life in which at last it is safe for God to fold his wings. He'll no longer need to protect us. We'll be with him. This psalm points us to Jesus. We see him in Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. Take this cup, take this burden from me. We hear him from the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet we hear him as he breathed his last saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Trust, putting his full weight upon the Father. He was knocked down, but he rose up again, victorious. And in the midst of the tough times of life, we can trust in God. Consider this conversation. God, can I ask you something? Sure. Promise you won't get mad? I promise. Why did you let so much stuff happen to me today? What do you mean? Well, I woke up late. Yes. My car took forever to start. Okay. At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait. On the way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. All right. And to top it off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in my foot massager and relax, but it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? Well, let me see. The death angel was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of those angels to battle him for your life. I let you sleep through that. Oh. I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route that might have hit you if you were on the road. Oh, the first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they have. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work. Oh, your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give a false witness about what you said on that call, so I didn't even let you talk to them so you would be covered. I see, God. Oh, and that foot massager? It had a short that was going to throw out all the power in your house tonight. I didn't think you wanted to be in the dark. I'm sorry, God. Don't be sorry. Just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. I will trust you, God. And don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan. I won't, God. And let me just tell you, God, thank you for everything today. You're welcome, my child. It was just another day being your God, and I love looking after my children. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. It makes all the difference in our attitude towards life.